An optional reading for Christmas from the book of Hebrews, the first chapter, beginning at the first verse. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath made heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, come upon us in this moment and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So about a year after college, I'm sitting in the back pew of First Christian Reformed Church in Sioux Center, Iowa. And I realize that as Pastor Mark is going on and on about the kingdom of God, I really can't quite see the features on his face. That's odd. I used to be able to see the outline of his glasses pretty well. And I guess now that I think about it, I've noticed that the bricks behind the pulpit have always been running together the last couple of months, blurred slightly. I mentioned this to my wife, and so she makes an appointment for me with Dr. Beaver, the local optometrist. So within a week, I'm in Dr. Beaver's office. And he takes one of these little, like, looks like a black wooden spoon or something, and I put it over one eye, and then put it over the other eye, and I'm supposed to read out a random string of letters. E, B, A, Z, F, D? And all the while, Dr. Beaver is muttering to himself, nearsighted. Here, he moves me over and he puts in front of me this really strange contraption with eye holes. Now put your chin on that and look through this. Okay. So I look through and there's a blurred kind of cartoon picture of a cartoon house with a red roof and kind of some sort of white picket fence, but it's all blurry. All right, now tell me which is better, A or B? And he flips two series of lenses in front of my eyes. Click, 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 click. And the first set of lenses seem to kind of make it a little clearer. A. He repeats the process. Okay, what about this, A or B? Two more series of lenses, and B definitely made the image clearer this time. B. About a half dozen more times, Dr. Beaver flips lenses in front of my nearsighted eyes. And finally, on the last one, I'm convinced. Yes, yes, that one. B, 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 definitely. Because now the cartoon image has come into clear focus. The red roof, the perfect outlines of the picket fence, and I can see it. Perfect. Okay, let's go pick out some frames, says Dr. Beaver. And, of course, I picked out something that looked very intellectual, something that looked even professorial. I had my pride, after all. And a week later, my glasses were ready. So I'm sitting then again in Dr. Beaver's office, and he slips them onto the bridge of my nose. I step outside, and it's dizzying, almost blinding. Too many details swimming before my eyes. I can see the outline of every leaf fluttering in the tree above me. I can see people's faces across the street, and I'm almost getting a headache because of the sudden onrush of information and clarity, the beauty, the overwhelming sense of awe of all the detail that is around me, because I'm finally able to see again, no longer nearsighted. Sisters and brothers, the fact of the matter is that the human race is spiritually nearsighted. We're born that way. We're born spiritually blind at some level, but especially nearsighted blind. We can only see things close to us. The pastor at the front or the bricks behind the pulpit, they all run together because that's doing something with someone else. It's not about me. We're nearsighted. It's all about me and my desires, my ego, my desire for control. We see everything in a distorted manner. We are, after all, sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. And so we look at all situations in our lives and things blur. Again, Pastor Mark's face is hazy and the bricks are running together behind the pulpit. We can't see our relationships clearly. My wife is the problem. I bet my son didn't come home for Christmas because he's still mad about the ring I gave to his sister. We're paranoid, we're suspicious, we're blind. We don't see things as they are. Everything is a haze outside of ourselves. And we also don't see God clearly. I bet God likes everything that I like. I bet God is just a bigger version of me. Yes, that's got to be. That's who I see out there. Yeah. God likes to make deals and contracts, and so, yeah. We're nearsighted. It's all about us, and we're blind. Blind to reality. We can't see clearly. But this morning on Christmas Day, the Spirit of God, the divine optometrist, has us put that little black spoon over each of our eyes. Read the letters. EBADFZ? And we know we're doing poorly. Mutters the Spirit. Nearsighted, spiritually nearsighted, practically blind. And the Spirit puts a strange contraption in front of us. Look through this. Put your chin right here and look through this. The contraption is a strange tangle of laws and prophecies, poems and songs. We look through it and we see a blurred house with a red roof. Now tell me which is clearer, A or B? Two sets of lenses click in front of our eyes. A story about Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah. Abraham's knife lifted above his son. A story about Cain and Abel. Cain's rock lifted above Abel's head. A? Anything slightly more clearer? The next two lenses click into place. Two laws, a law about leprosy and a law about setting captives free every 50 years, a jubilee. B, that seems clearer. B. Dr. Spirit repeats the process over a half dozen times, new lenses adding more and more clarity, a son of man riding a cloud to God's throne, an angel showing a prophet a new temple, a song about King David's dynasty, and a poem about a suffering servant. And then finally, the final lenses. The red-roofed house springs into perfect view. The best lens is kind of strange. The story of a young mother wiping the placenta from her little baby boy. She pins his waving arms and swaddles him in linen strips. She presses his mewling mouth to her breast. He struggles for an hour or two to suck. And then the yellow liquid gold hits his walnut-sized stomach. His mouth goes slack in sleep. And the little teenage girl lays him in a dugout trough. Sleep, my Yeshi. Sleep, my little salvation. It's through this story that we can finally see all of the details of who we are, who God is, and all around us. A, definitely A. In our reading from the book of Hebrews, the author tells us that the Holy Spirit has slowly been correcting human vision throughout the centuries. Little by little, lens by lens, He has helped us to see ourselves and God more clearly. And now in the person of Jesus, the child born in Bethlehem, our glasses are ready. In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by a Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of His nature, upholding the universe by His word of power. And St. John agrees in our gospel reading. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus, agrees St. John, was and is the Logos, the glasses through which we can actually see reality. What's real? What's important? Who God is and who we are. And so this morning, the Spirit slips the Jesus frames over the bridge of our nose. We feel a little dizzy as we step outside, almost a headache even, at the wild mass of details that suddenly flourish before us, the outline of every leaf blowing on every tree, relationships coming into focus for the first time, coming into focus through the story of the baby born king of the universe. I'm the problem in my marriage. Did my son? Well, maybe my son just couldn't make it. God Himself comes into view clearer. God is not a bigger version of me. God is the dangerous fire of holy love that undergirds all things. The richness of detail and beauty in the world and the people around us is stunning and overwhelming. Because now we see them through Jesus. God's love for all in Christ, making our lives clear, making others around us clear, making situations clear. The God beyond all becoming becomes a child. God humbles Himself, sacrifices Himself for you and for me. And when we look through the Jesus glasses, we see everything then with dizzying clarity. All of our life is a gift. All of our life is love. Sacrificial love. The Jesus glasses show us God's inner life on display. No blurring anymore. The Logos pattern of self-sacrifice. The Father giving Himself to the Son giving Himself to the Father, and the Spirit, the love betwixt and between, pouring out Himself on behalf of both. One God in three persons. And as we look through the babe in the manger, the image of this God, the lens through which we see the world, we see how we ought to live, giving ourselves for one another, loving our neighbor as ourselves. This morning, the Spirit of God puts those glasses on our noses, and on Christmas Day, we can see. We can see who God is, love, and we can see who we are.